Karoti vachalam. Pangun langayate girim. Yakripa tamaham bande. Shri Gurun dinatarinam. Jai. So Prabhupada ki. Mukam karoti vachalam. So, somebody who can't speak, mukam, he can't talk. Mukam karoti, he becomes a very eloquent speaker. Pangun langayate gerim. And pangun is somebody koho. He can't walk very well, but we're going to send him to cross the mountains. Mukam karoti vachalam pangun langayate gerim. Yakripa tamaham vande shri gurundinatarinam. So by the mercy of the spiritual master, a speech impaired person can become a very eloquent speaker. A lame man can cross over mountains. A blind man can see the stars in the sky. And a dog can cross over the ocean. How many dogs here who've crossed over the ocean? Yeah. So tonight we're going to cross over the ocean to Peru. Yeah. So, I caught my saying, my name is Hanumat Preshak, and I was born on Guam. It's an island in the Pacific Ocean there. My parents were there. But then I grew up in California, Southern California, Arcadia, San Gabriel, Alhambra, see? And then high school in Sacramento, in Universidad, in Davis mostly, yeah. Then I met devotees. I was initiated in 1974. I saw Prabhupada, maybe one or two lectures here, also some very interesting experiences. And then I took initiation in 74. I took sannyas in 84. And I started initiating other people in 94. So in 2004, I made a request to leave the world. Submitted my request and said rejected. Yeah, you know, okay, yeah. Probably not ready. So then we started actually a very nice cultural institution. NEOS, North American Institute for Oriental and Classical Studies. And we're doing so many things with that. You know. And it probably explains that books are the basis. Of course, the basis of our entire culture is Srimad Bhagavatam. If you're familiar with India, you know that the principal texts are the Vedas. The Vedas, the most antique and like that. And so the idea was that originally the universe is going through different cycles. Our lungs are going through cycles. The days are going through cycles. So the universe is also going through cycles. There's an age of gold, age of silver, age of bronze, and age of iron, where we are now. And so things get smaller, more condensed. You know, it's just like, for example, if you go to New York in the middle of the winter, you won't see any fruit, any flowers, any leaves, any squirrels, any dogs. Actually, you usually don't even see people. You just see like clothing kind of moving around like that, and there's no sun, you know. So you say, oh, come back in 2, 3, 4 months. You'll see all these people running around and dogs hopping and chasing, you know, balls. And someone says, no, it's always like this. It's not always like this. There are cycles. So Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago at the end of the Dwapara Yuga. And it was like the autumn season, the fall. You know, in the Bible, it talks about Methuselah. And Methuselah was living to be 1,000 years. The same as, you know, is described in the Bhagavatam and the Vedic literatures in the last age. But it's not just Methuselah. There's like 4 or 5 other people also described, 1,200, 1,300, like that. And then, of course, there's the history of Morte d'Arthur, the history of King Arthur and Merlin. So there are many indications that this is how it is. We're going through these different cycles. Practically speaking, Western historians in general, more than 2,000 years ago, you're starting to very much speculate. You know? I saw one professor, he was trying to talk about the historical evidence for Lord Jesus Christ from sources other than the Christian tradition, because there are many biographers writing at that time, historians, and there wasn't much evidence like that, you know. So even Christ, you know, what to speak of anybody else. So we're talking about 5,000 years ago. And so at that time, things are becoming very dense, very dark. It's like when steam, it becomes ice, right? First it becomes water, then it becomes ice. So as the ages go on, your thoughts, the reactiveness of the atmosphere, everything becomes more gross. Yeah? So Vyasadeva saw this, Dvaipanyaya Muni. So he took the Veda, which was sound, very subtle. He divided it into four parts, so it would be more practical, and wrote it down. And therefore he's called Veda Vyas, because he divided the Vedas. Then he saw this is very vast, so he gave a summary of everything called Vedanta Sutra. Veda Anta, the conclusion of all these things, but very condensed. Practically speaking, without a commentary, it's incomprehensible. It's so intelligent. As much as therefore thus. Okay, that's the first thing. It's very condensed. I saw one time a translation. And there was no commentary, but just to make it comprehensible, they're putting in extra words like that. It's like finding a handout for some conference for Nobel laureates given 200 years ago in a different language. like that. So then he said, okay, this is not going to be practical for common people. So then he wrote stories to illustrate these things like that, Puranas. And after he wrote the Puranas, 17 Puranas, then he wrote the Mahabharata with the Bhagavad Gita and all these stories. And then common people can see, understand these ideas, what we're talking about, examples. But still he wasn't happy. He'd done all these things. He had a vegetarian restaurant. He was preaching about animal rights, giving yoga classes, Mridanga classes, But what's it all for? Most of the Vedas and Puranas, they talk about Krishna, but very indirectly. They really mostly talk about becoming good, going to work, understand some knowledge about a little philosophy, But they don't come to the conclusion, what was it called? Prema Pumarto Mahan. The conclusion of everything is to reawaken ecstatic love for Krishna. So the Narada Muni came and told Vyasadeva, this is your problem, and you have to write Srimad Bhagavatam, right? The glories of the Lord and his associates, like that. And everything else you've done, Tadvag Vishargo Janataga Biplavo, it's what's the use of it even? Maybe even compared to a pilgrimage place for crows, like that. So then Narada Muni sat down in a very good ashram, which is necessary. He began to focus his mind, and he could see the pastimes of Krishna, and he began to produce the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, like that. Most of the Puranas do not have commentaries, like that. Most of the Puranas. Most of the Puranas don't have commentaries, but Srimad Bhagavatam has a commentary by everybody. Because everybody wants to show that it supports their philosophy. Yes, Srimad Bhagavatam supports Mayavad philosophy. Yes, so many like that. It's described that the different Puranas are very beautiful, like stars in the sky. The different Puranas, what is there? There's a Vishnu Puran, Garuda Puran, Brahmanda Puran. So beautiful, like stars in the sky. And until the moon of Srimad Bhagavatam comes up. Oh, he's bigger than we are. So one very great professor, Professor Rao from Chennai, he teaches at Oxford, and he says, it's not an exaggeration. This is actually the fact. For the beauty of the poetry, the depth of the philosophy, and the sophistication of the grammar, Srimad Bhagavatam is in a class by itself. I one time saw one book by one atheistic evolutionary Indian fellow discussing the Vedas and everything else. And he said that Srimad Bhagavatam is the finest production of evolution. Right? Isn't evolution wonderful? It's produced Srimad Bhagavatam. Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Evolution ki jai. From monkeys to the Bhagavatam. Like that. Because we know if you have enough monkeys typing long enough, they'll produce the works of Shakespeare. You've heard that. So I think at the University of Minnesota, they set up 10,000 virtual monkeys, typing, the whole computer program. And basically it's 10,000 virtual monkeys typing. And after 20,000 virtual years, they've come up with one four-word phrase from one of Shakespeare's plays. Like that. So, okay, maybe everything is happening by chance, but I wouldn't wait. I'd try and do something, you know, like that, to become rich or something, you know. So all these questions are there. It's one very, very nice verse in the first canto, chapter 3. There's Kindle apparatus here, shy. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam here. Yeah. So please repeat. Where'd it go here? Disappeared. Krishna Swadhamma Upagate. Krishna Swadhamma Upagate. Krishna Swadhamma Upagate. Dharma Jnana Adibisaha. Dharma Jnana Adibisaha. Krishna Swadhamma Upagate. Dharma Jnana Adibisaha. Kalo Nasta Drisham Esha. Kalo Nasta Drisham Esha. Kalo Nasta Drisham Esha. Puranarko Dunoditaha. Krishna Svadhamma Upagate. Dharma Gyanadi Bisaha. Kalo Nasta Drisham Esha. Puranarko Dunoditaha. So Suda Goswami is telling the sages at Naimisharanya that at the beginning of all this Bhagavatam, this Bhagavat Purana is as brilliant as the sun. It has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of the ignorance of the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is before he left India. Lord Sri Krishna has his eternal dham, or abode, where he eternally enjoys himself with his eternal associates and paraphernalia. And his eternal abode is a manifestation of his internal energy, whereas the material world is a manifestation of his external energy. When he descends on the material world, he displays himself with all paraphernalia in his internal potency, which is called Atmamaya. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he descends by his own internal potency, Atmamaya. His form, his name, his fame, his paraphernalia, abode, etc., are not therefore creations of matter. He descends to reclaim the fallen souls and to reestablish codes of religion which are directly enacted by him. Except for God, no one can establish the principles of religion. Either he or a suitable person empowered by him can dictate the codes of religion. So one time, actually I was in San Francisco, but the devotees were here visiting. Prabhupada was giving his lectures. He'd been staying for some time in New Dwarka. Maybe some people remember this. And he gave a last lecture. The next day he was going to travel. And so the devotees said that Prabhupada finished. Any questions? He answered the questions. And he became very, very, very thoughtful, just sitting on the Vyasasan, very quiet. And the whole room became totally quiet because Prabhupada was so serious and people weren't coughing. Maybe like 600 devotees here or something packed in, you know, it was full, you know. So after a minute or two, like just thinking very intensely like that, very serious, you know, Prabhupada said, "So, if you chant 16 nice rounds a day, follow the four principles strictly, and live for your entire life in the temple, then I promise that at the end of this miserable material existence, I will personally come and take you back home, back to Godhead." Ah. So, serious claim like that. And of course, you can make your home a temple too, right? If you said, if ashram, if Krishna is being served there, then it's the same as living in, you know, ashram here. So, Prabhupada, Krishna or Krishna's representatives can make these laws like that. Yeah? Real religion means to know God, our relation with Him, our duties in relation with Him, and to know ultimately our destination after leaving this material body. The conditioned souls who are entrapped by the material energy hardly know all these principles of life. Most of them are like animals engaged in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. You see that? You know, Prabhupada says, you know, the dog is running on four legs, looking for food, looking for a girlfriend, looking for shelter, trying to defend himself. But nowadays we see the same human beings, no? They're going on four legs, doing the same thing, four wheels. Four wheels doing the same thing, you know. Hey, mamacita! It's like, he's a dog, no? He's a dog. You know. Yeah. But this is what it says. That they are mostly engaged in sense enjoyment under the pretension of religiosity, knowledge, or salvation. They are still more blind in the present age of quarrel, or Kali Yuga. In the Kali Yuga, the population is just a royal edition of the animals. They have nothing to do with spiritual knowledge or godly religious life. Yeah. For example, is one word in English and Spanish, no? Castidad. Yeah. Piosidad. Piedos. But in English, these words are almost forgotten. Chastity. You ask most people in Los Angeles, non-Latin people, what is chastity? Well, I don't know. You say, oh, she's a very chaste girl. I think everybody's running after her like that. Oh, she's very chaste, you know. Or pious. Pious? Pie? These words have disappeared. But before, they were very common. Actually, girls were named chastity in America. Girls were named, you know, piety like that, you know. But now it's just like, they don't know what it means, you know. In other countries, actually, if a girl is chaste, she's ridiculed. Oh, you're 16 years old, you haven't had relations with a boy. Oh, publicly humiliated like that. My God. Yeah. So this is Kali Yuga. The principles of religion themselves are attacked like that. Yeah. In Kali Yuga, the population is just a royal edition of the animals. They have nothing to do with spiritual knowledge or godly religious values. They are so blind that they cannot see anything beyond the jurisdiction of a subtle mind, intelligence, or ego. But they are very much proud of their advancement in knowledge, science, and material prosperity. They can risk their lives to become a dog or a hog just after leaving the present body. For they have completely lost the sight of the ultimate aim of life. The personality of Godhead Sri Krishna appeared before us just a little prior to the beginning of Kali Yuga, and he returned to his eternal home practically at the commencement of Kali Yuga. While he was present, he exhibited everything by his different activities. He spoke the Bhagavad Gita specifically to eradicate all pretentious principles of religion. And prior to his departure from this material world, he empowered Sri Vyasadeva through Narada to compile the messages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And thus, the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are like torchbearers for the blind people of this age. In other words, if men in this age of Kali want to see the real light of life, they must take to these two books only, and their aim of life will be fulfilled. Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary study of Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says that Bhagavad Gita is the cultivation of the intellect. It's an Upanishad. It's talking very intellectually to get people to understand that there is a cause behind things. We're different than matter. You know, we should worship God who is the oldest, who knows everything, who is the maintainer, who is everybody's benefactor, like that. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the summum bonum of life. Lord Sri Krishna personified. We must therefore accept Srimad Bhagavatam as the direct representation of Lord Krishna. One who can see Srimad Bhagavatam can also see Sri Krishna in person. They are identical. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. So our whole movement is based upon Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya is the ideal preacher of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a literary incarnation like that. So in 1961, Srila Prabhupada was invited to a congress on the cultivation of the human spirit, like that, in Japan. And he thought, you know, that of course what we want to communicate is the Bhagavatam. That's the message. But he thought, you know, people can't stay to listen 18,000 verses, you know. So he selected one chapter. I think it's chapter 30. And it's in the Krishna book. It's the 10th canto. And it's a description of nature. And there the poet, Sukadeva Goswami, is taking different examples from nature. The waterfalls, the crickets, the hot autumn season, the clouds, the flashing lightning, the frogs coming out when it rains. You know? And he's giving different, you know, lessons like that, you know, from these nature. Prabhupada selected this because he knew that Oriental people are very fond of descriptions of nature, Japanese people, Chinese people. Actually, one of the greatest Indian classics, you could even say it's the greatest classic, you know, other people say something different, but anyway, it's one of the greatest Chinese classics is, translation is Journey to the West. If you look on Google for Journey to the West, you can find it there. And it's very interesting because it describes China, you know, the mythical thousands of years ago. Actually, it was a real journey. It took place about the year 700 in the 8th century. One monk went from China to India to get more advanced scriptures because they had karmakanda scriptures. They knew how to do things properly, follow rules and regulations, give charity, honor your father and mother. And then you go to heaven, swarga. And it's in the Chinese pantheon, there's, you know, what is it called? Patala Loka. There's Yamaraj. Everything the same. Same ideas like that. So this one monk, he was sent by the emperor to go to India. Because India is always a place of philosophy. If you look in the Encyclopedia Britannica, you'll only find one country where it talks about the philosophy of that country. The philosophy of that country. If you want good food, you can take birth in Italy. If you want good machines, you can take birth in Germany. If you want romance, you can take birth in France. But if you want philosophy, you take birth in India. Yeah. I heard probably two times Prabhupada said, you only take birth in India if you are interested in spiritual life in your previous life. Brahmande Brahmate Kom Bhagyavan. How's it going? No. Jamba Bharati, Bharati Jamba Bhumi, Bhumite Bharate Janma. The first word? Bharati Bhumite Hoile, okay. Bharate Bhumite Hoile, I hope there's no Bengalis here. Bharati Bhumite Hoile, Manusha Janma Yar, Jamma Sartaka Kari, Karapara Upakar. But as I said, there's so many fruits from this movement. It's so nice. You just chant Hare Krishna 2 hours a day and your whole life will change. Everything. So many fruits are being produced. I can't distribute them all. Therefore, I order everybody who took birth as a human being in Bharata to take this up. Yeah. Sartika Bharate Bhumite Hoile Manusha Janmayar Janma Sartika Kari. Make your own life perfect. Karapara Upakar. And then help other people. That's the purpose, especially if you take birth in India. If you want to be a mechanic, okay, Germany. If you want police, okay, Great Britain, like that. If you want good government, okay, Switzerland, you know. But if you want philosophy, you know, it's the land of India. Britannica's, in the Encyclopedia Britannica, the only country where it talks about the philosophy of that country is India. And it's not a part of the entry on India. It's a separate thing. It's Indian philosophy, a whole section like that, you know. So that's what India's gift is, philosophy, culture. And every single one of those systems, Patanjali, Vyasa, Karma Mimamsa, Jaimini, they have a process by which you can realize what they're talking about. So out of all these, of course, I'm making this point that Srimad Bhagavatam is the real essence of all this literature, the basis. Nigama Kapa Taror Galitam Palam, the ripened fruit, like that. So this monk was going from China, and it's a very interesting story. It's translated. If you understand Chinese people, this is how to do it and how to preach. So one celestial monkey was helping him, one celestial pig, other people, and many, many adventures, one after another like that. And Buddhist philosophy, Taoist philosophy, is very interesting. And finally got to Buddha, and Buddha gave them, Jnanakanda, by which you can become liberated. Karmakanda will show you how to live in this world nicely, become peaceful in the end. But then you think, well, there must be more than this. I'm a human being. There's something more than this. Yeah? Okay, then the philosophical light starts. Jnanakanda, liberation from matter. Okay, now I'm liberated from matter. Well, what do I do? Oh, then there's Upasanakanda, how to worship different transcendental beings, notably Krishna. Ete chamsa sakalpum sam, Krishna's tu bhagavan swayam. There are many incarnations and portions of incarnations, but Krishna's tu bhagavan swayam. Krishna's the original form of all of these like that. So Prabhupada then took the one chapter, he described pictures, he wrote a purport, a commentary for each verse like that, and he was hoping they could have a whole symposium, an exhibition like that set up. But he couldn't go in the end. So after Prabhupada left his body, Tamal Krishna and the Maharaj and the Hong Kong BBT took up the project like that. And they had then this very beautiful art done like that. Here's some of the pictures like that. By one Madame Li Shuangyang, very accomplished Chinese artist. When she wanted to leave China to go to Hong Kong, she was trying to take her pictures with her. And they said, very sorry. National treasure. Pick three. Something. Take them with you. So these are all the verses. There's a verse and then the translation. In the back, then there's Prabhupada's purports like that. And discusses many things. It's a very nice book. It just talks about cosmology. What is this universe? Who are we? Very nice discussion of that. Interreligious dialogue. How the different religions can work together. Some things that are claiming to be religion but are not religion. Especially a lot about Varna Ashram Dharma, social philosophy. How we can live together, which is what a human being means, for cultivation of the human spirit, like that. As husband and wife, as merchants and laborers. They can work together. So everything is for for cultivation of the human spirit. Okay, follow that. Lubricate the vocal cords. So Prabhupada's idea was to participate in a symposium. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, before he left his body, he was told actually that he arranged everything in Cambridge University to do exactly that. So I was inspired to do this before I ever heard about that. So in South America, we printed the slide of the Bhagavad. You have a small copy outside, full size like this. We actually have the original files. They're about 20 to 30 megabytes each one. So you can blow them up to 2 meters, 6 feet, and no detail lost. And with that big, they're really impressive, just incredible like that. And on some of them, there's so much detail you can't see in the small pictures. And you look at it, you start seeing a story there. Something's happening. Ah, very intense. When she was doing this, her vision was failing. One of the last things she did, and she felt it was, a gift from God or something that this was the end of her career, was to illustrate this book. So we have the book. It's in Spanish and English. What do you call somebody who speaks three languages? Somebody who speaks two languages? Bilingüe. And somebody who speaks one language? Norteamericano. So this is interesting. This is lightning bolts.
So he has Spanish and
the same book. Voy a mostrar. Los relámpagos, aunque son amigos de todo el mundo, se vuelven compañeros inconstantes sin poder serle fiel a ninguna nube. Así como las mujeres gloriosas no crean relaciones estables. ni siquiera con hombres que poseen excelentes cualidades. So this is the lightning flashing from one cloud to another. The lightning becomes unsteady in its friendship, failing to remain faithfully in any one of the clouds, although they are friends of the entire world. Just as lusty women do not remain steady even in the company of men who possess excellent qualities. And so Prabhupada's purport, of course, is very interesting, what he's talking about like this. So what we've been doing in South America, then we have the book, and we have a symposium. And this is a link. Actually, Omkar Prabhu has all this. Actually, if you just go on the YouTube, and look for Bharatiya Sanskriti, like that. Then they'll come back, and one of them is our clip. And it shows the festival we did. There's a summary first and the longer part. And we did it in Peru, in Lince, which is one district, no? Very robust area, like the Bronx or something. So the mayor inaugurated it. We had all the art there. One professor from a university took all the time to set up all the art properly. It was just overwhelming, you know. But we had a big inauguration with nice things to eat, drink. People came and the press came. And then for maybe two or three days during the art exhibit, maybe there for two or three weeks, a couple of days you're there with a guide to take school children, artists, anybody who wants to, on guided tours like that. We've also printed up three of the verses extracted and a little thing like that, so you can give it away for very cheap. And then the exhibition's going on, the symposium, so you can do this here in Los Angeles, no? Like that. Light of the Bhagavat, Cultivation of the Human Spirit. Okay. You can pick a few themes. For example, like this is one of the themes you could pick, and yet we could take a title. For example, you could have Divorce, the Feminine Element. Or what is that? Yeah. And then you can invite ladies sociologists, different people, mothers, and have a very nice symposium. You take Prabhupada's purport as the basis like that to kick it off, you know. And then everybody, this is not so much for coming to conclusions. It's more for stimulating people's interest, attraction, to get them on the right path like that, you know. And other topics of Varnashram Dharma in general, interfaith dialogue. When the rain starts to come, all the frogs come out of their caves and they start to croak, just like brahmacharis, right? You know, when the spiritual master wakes them up. So the purport, Prabhupada said, this is like people who are very, very faithful to their religion. Every Sunday they go to their temple, they go to their mosque, you know, they go to their church, they sing the prayers, they follow the things, but they don't come out. You know, they don't share it. He said, now people should come out. All the frogs should come out of their caves and form a common league of devotees of all the different faiths. Every faith where people have a belief in the existence of God and he's the supreme controller and we should serve him, that's enough. Let's work together now. And so many things that need to be corrected. Abortion, ecology, exploitation of laborers, misinformation about the goal of life. Right? And so if religions work together, we've seen this. Actually, there's more and more, and because of Prabhupada, more and more cooperation amongst religions like that. And so these books become a very good basis for establishing enough links to work together. You know, practically speaking, every religion is against abortion. Every religion is in favor of developing a healthy environment for family life, which the modern world does not do. You know? So yeah, there's so much basis. You know? So maybe two or three symposiums on different topics. And finally we finish off with a gala event in El Sol de Oro in Miraflores. Very famous hotel. And you know, we have a beautiful movie. Actually, we have three movies now. We're making movies in Peru. Oscar Nathers, Origo Otero. They're a little bit famous there. You talk to people, they know them. And they like devotees. They like, you know, our culture, philosophy. And very artistic, very creative. So Oscar started by making a movie, Light of the Bhagavat, Peruvian Reflections, about 35 minutes, and he extracted from this really intelligent extract summary with very intense images. You know, I've seen it 51 times now, and I'm ready to see it again because it's all images and things. It's put together very nicely with a story like that, very beautiful emotions, sentiments, extracts from the Vietnam War. You know, so again, we left a copy with Omkar like that. And then we made another movie which goes before that, which is The Universal Form. And that's filmed in the jungles of Peru with Narada Muni and Vyasadeva and Brahma and all these beautiful things, celestial creation. Narada Muni is a little bit robust, but you know, other than that, he looks like Narada Muni. You know? And this, wow, you can really feel like this is how it was. You know? So the Narada Muni says, you should write Srimad Bhagavatam. So we start with that, which is pantheism. It's the first lesson in the Bhagavatam. Appreciate God in nature. And then you know, go to God as the Paramatma in the heart and finally you're the person like that. So universal form, light of the Bhagavat. And we just finished a movie, The Person Bhagavat, you know, which is Srila Prabhupada. And they're all very interesting, very intense. They're avant-garde style. You know, it's a different kind of style of movie, but very good. You know? So this is designed, Prabhupada wrote this book for a certain kind of people. You know, specifically designed for intelligent, artistic, cultural people like that. And especially with this oriental appreciation of nature, which is true of many people. Scientists hear this, they say, oh, that's okay, you know. But they want a very linear thing, one after another. But here's Sukadeva Goswami, he's taking a picture. Like that. So there's not like exactly a real, it's more like when you're taking prasadam, okay, first I eat all the rice, then I eat all the dal, then I eat all the sabji, and all the chapatis. That's scientific. You know? Then you take a little sabji like that. Tastefulness like that. You know? So anyway, this is our project, and we're hoping somebody, also Omkar Prabhu, otherwise people can, if you want to, print the book and symposium, and we'll come back if you have to participate. And it's a wonderful tool. This movement is meant for revolution. When Prabhupada came to France, he sat in the Vyasa Sadana, and French people were very critical, you know, that like that. You know, all kind of looking at Prabhupada, maybe 400 people there or something, big program. And Prabhupada started off and he said, so I hear that the French people are very fond of revolution. So I propose a revolution. And everybody, vive le Prabhupada. Yeah. Then he said, so we are installing deities of Radha and Krishna. You know, he said, Krishna is a transcendental woman hunter. and because the most beautiful women are in Paris and Kashmir, Krishna has come to Paris to look for a French girlfriend. You know, vive le Prabhupada. Yes. And next he will go to Kashmir. Yes. Yeah. So yeah, this is what Krishna consciousness means. It means to understand people. It means to, so you know, we need more and more and more literature, books, publications, symposiums, you know, farms, right? Orchards. There's so much work to do. And Krishna will give us everything we need. Just get up early and get your rounds done. Somebody asked me, what's the essence of all this? That's get up early and get your rounds done. And then automatically you'll want to hear the books. You'll have like RT, kirtan. And you'll be so inspired then, like that. Automatically, you know, other people will go on like that. And so many projects will just follow them like that. So one thing we're doing, and we've got to go now. Actually, in 10 minutes, I got to, otherwise my coach will turn into a pumpkin, like that, so on. So any questions, comments? Koi prashna hai? Hanji. No, well, in terms of intellectual development, Bhagavad Gita is the ABCs. Before you can write, you've got to know your ABCs. So we're not the body. There is a supreme controller. So it's basically very simple. But some people, because of their previous life activities, they already know this as soon as they hear it. Yeah. So it's kind of like boring to them, you know. But then Bhagavatam is the actual cultivation of the soul. You know, the soul is out of matter. I got to wake up. So it goes through different avatars that we can relate to in different ways. And finally comes to Krishna, who we can love in every way. Chaitanya Charitamrita is like a Srimad Bhagavatam class. Lord Chaitanya is showing us how to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya said, you can only understand Srimad Bhagavatam when you become a madman like me. There are many madmen. This is like Lord Chaitanya. So it's very much related. Bhagavatam is the heart. So the thing is to do is just like anything. You go to a big, you know, Greek food, vegetarian Greek food festival. Okay, you know, you know about Greek food, dolma. So you try it out. You know, yeah. So same way, try out Chaitanya Charitamrita, try out Srimad Bhagavatam. The Krishna book is an extract of the 10th canto. You know, the Nectar of Devotion is an extract of the bhakti portion of the Bhagavatam, all the way from beginning to end. Upadeshamrita is a little summary of the whole thing. So they're all related to the Bhagavatam. So try them out, different things like that. And you discover, like, what is your level? I really need the basics. Okay, Bhagavad Gita. And then classes, and following that, okay, then Srimad Bhagavatam, and different cantos, like that. Or else from previous life, you can appreciate all this stuff right away. As a child, you were experiencing, you know, love of God. You know, every church is singing hymns, you know. Oh, yeah, you appreciated that. The church would rock, you know, like that, yeah. So you're ready for Chaitanya Charitamrita, yeah. But, of course, Lord Chaitanya includes Bhagavad Gita. He includes Srimad Bhagavatam, yeah. So if you're reading that, it's included. So try out, sample different things, talk with devotees, and then, you know, find out what your level is, like that. Yeah. So.
Otros preguntas? Koi prashna hai? Okay.
Yeah. See? When are you coming back? He's asking, I hope I don't come back. Like that. Yeah, yes. I've been here enough. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Actually, we're coming back to Los Angeles, I think, on August 31st, September 1st. But then we're going to walk from the Land Peru terminal to the Southwest Airlines terminal and fly to Seattle. Well, no, it's actually very nice being here. I've met so many memories. It's like, you know, smart. I'm like, shocking, you know. I guess it's just, actually, it's interesting because we chant Hare Krishna to distinguish between matter and spirit. But actually, when you're a little bit more liberated from that, you chant Hare Krishna to distinguish what's your service. Because there's so many good things to do, you know. And so, I mean, after this, I'll go to Peru for three weeks, Chile for 3 weeks, which means several cities, back to Peru, Bolivia, and then maybe three, four cities, back here for a few hours, then we go to Seattle for 3 days, Tennessee for 10 days, Spain for 1 week, Radadesh for 1 week, Vrindavan for a month, Mayapur for a month, and back to the U.S. in December. Yeah, and that's, you know, my dharma, you know. Yeah, I'm slowing down, too. Yeah. Yeah, we're also doing some preaching in the science area. And I started electrical engineering, changed to biological engineering, graduated in psychology, you know. To be a scientist, you have to be very narrow-minded and very intense. That's a scientific mentality. You focus on one thing. That's the epistemology. And so for me, it was just too narrow, you know. So I would classify myself. That's why I like this book. You know, it's an intellectual. I like that kind of thing. I like to play with my mind, you know. Yeah. But at the same time, too, it's more cultural, like that. Yeah. In Peru, we've been doing programs with CONCITEC, Consejeros de Ciencia y Tecnología, which is the National Science Council. And they set the curriculum in science for all of Peru from kindergarten to postgraduate, and they also give the money. So their opinion, you know. So they never let anybody, any religious group, give programs there. But they let us go because of one contact, and a very senior person organized it, but I could see he didn't invite many people because he wasn't sure what was going to happen, you know. So I presented Sankhya. It was a very nice analysis of what is material nature. It includes the mind, it includes the subtle gross elements, and it goes finally to the Atma. Then after it, he said, wow, I was so much afraid Hanuman Swami was going to say something stupid or something. But after hearing this Indian philosophy, I can see how you can be a scientist, and at the same time, too, you can be religious, you know. And in Peru, there's all kinds of mystical experiences, like, you know, all, everywhere. Casa Montecita. Okay. It's like, want to spend the night there? Could you pass out a note? No, it's like totally haunted place. And, you know, I talked to many big scientists in Peru one time. I asked them, would you spend one night there? And they said, no. We believe in science, but forget it. You know, we're not stupid, you know. So that there, these things are much easier for people to understand, like that, the different subtle levels and going to God like that. You know? So there they let us. give and invite us. When Gopal Hari, Radhika Raman's brother, came, we organized a program. They had us give a program at the biggest science university there. And we did it on Sir Isaac Newton, the second apple. The first apple was gravity, but everything he discovered about science, mechanics, the laws of mechanics, the laws of optics, the laws of gravity, and so many systems of mathematics, like calculus, he did between the ages of 18 and 21 years old. Yet, show me any scientist in the world who can match that, you know. But it was all, as far as he was, before that it was theology, and after that it was theology. He's written something like, I don't know, what is it, 400,000 words on theology. And they've all been, very interestingly, not translated or made public, you know. If he was such a genius in science, think of what he was as a theologian. But he said, the only reason I'm studying science is because there's two ways to understand God. There's two books for understanding God. The Bible, and nature, where God is writing with his own hand. And that was why he thought like this. Through nature, you can see these things. And he did. He discovered so much symmetry, so much beauty. He said, okay, enough of that. Let's go back to the Bible and songs and like that, you know. Yeah. So like that, it's very, you can make a nice bridge. So we're doing programs, you know, there with the science universities and stuff like that. You know, yeah. But usually scientists speak a foreign language, though, where you got to learn like that, you know, mathematics, you know. Yeah, so. Yep. Okay. Just want to thank everybody very much for this opportunity to talk about Srimad Bhagavatam. And Omkar Prabhu has the copies of our movies. You want to contact him, and maybe the gift store, they can do it like that. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupad ki. Shri Rupmi Dwarkadish ki. Okay. Hari Bol. There you go. Okay, now I've got to fight my way to the door. Yeah. I bring the message. I am safe, Sita. What is your name?